Yo, what's good, y'all? This is Allende. I'm here with a really childhood mentor, friend, uncle. I'm here with Marcus McIntyre. He's a pastor. He's going to tell you some things about himself. I know we usually have our car talks. We started last week. But I think we're going to start calling this new podcast Trap House Talks, because we want to talk about individuals who have actually been through real struggles and who are now on the other side of things. And they're able to share their testimonies and their stories, and hopefully those things will shine light. So we have Marcus here, and we also have my friend Cordell. And we're all just having a round table discussion. And Marcus, if you want to reintroduce yourself, and we can just go back and talk, finish what you were saying.
Sure. My name is Marcus McIntyre. I am a pastor now, but like Inde said, I have been through several things, and I'd like to just share a few of them tonight. One of those being, as a young man, I've made several mistakes and found myself at the end of the day in prison. Yes, I did grow up in the church, and growing up in the church, there were several things that my mother tried to instill into me, but those things did not come clear to me. But one of the things that she believed in was train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he's older, he will not depart from it. But nevertheless, I made my own decisions, and I landed up in prison at the age of 17 years of age. Did 6 years behind bars. But while there, I had made up in my mind that I was not going coming back to church at all. I felt like, you know, at this point, I was too far out there. I wouldn't be accepted by those in which I went to church with, and it was just too much judgment for me to even try to step foot back in the house of God. So I had made up in my mind I wasn't coming back. So I colored my body with all kind of tattoos and gold in my mouth and everything, and I was just bent on not coming back. But one thing ended up happening to me that kind of changed the tide for me a little bit. I ended up going in the hole. And the hole is, when you're in prison, is a room where there's no light coming from the outside. So there's no windows inside this particular cell block. So I ended up doing something that landed me there. But while there, I had felt like I didn't have any reason to live. But how many of you know when you're at the bottom and the only thing that you can do is look up? And at that point, I began to have a real conversation with God. It wasn't about, you know, my mother's relationship. It wasn't about anything of that nature. But it was about, God, what do you want me to do? And if you want to use me, you got to show me. And as clear as I'm speaking over the waves and whoever's hearing this, God spoke to me. And one of the things he told me that, son, I love you, and you've sinned against nobody but me. For me, that was so impactful, because the love of God really changed my life. No one physically came to my aid, but God himself came to my aid, and that changed my life. It was the love of God.
Yeah. So you said you heard it. Heard the voice.
I heard his voice. In fact, before I heard his voice, I began to read his word, though. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how can, you know, you being a God that I've always heard about, be involved with a person like me who would willfully spit in your face, who willfully walked away from you. Yeah. You know, I'm not even saying this is the church fault why I did what I did. I did what I did because I was rebellious.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the end of the day. But what melted my heart was the love of God who still pursued me in spite of myself.
Yeah.
I wasn't chasing him, but he was still chasing me. The only thing I can say is, what manner of love is this? And so, being in that hole, he spoke to me and he said, son, you've sinned against nobody but me, and I love you. And that's all I needed to hear.
Yeah.
That he still loves me, not for what, not how good I am, but because I'm created in his image.
Right.
And so, being there, That was the first turn of the tide for me, because now I knew that God himself wanted me to do something for him. And that started in being submissive, first of all, to him and his love.
And so what I guess question is, like, how did you end up serving 6 years? I mean, you were at 17. And I believe, you know, being some listeners that are probably around that age right now, and especially like the age that we live in now, like where it kind of like people try to make it seem like being bad is cool, and you know, doing drugs or whatever is cool or whatever. But you know, like how did you end up getting in that situation at such a young age? Mm-hmm. Like, what were some of the events that you can look over and say, man, this is probably how I got ended up where I ended up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. As a young man, I was just craving for attention, for starters. Attention from male figures. My father, he was in my life, but wasn't in my life, if that makes sense. From a physical, financial standpoint, rather, he was there in, you know, supporting my family with the funds.
Yeah.
But as a man, a young man, I didn't know what that looked like, the definition of what a real man looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And so I end up at the age of 16. Let me just back up for a second. I had a child when I was going into the 10th grade.
Wow.
Yeah, so that kind of changed my life. So I'm like, okay, I got a child now, but I'm just a child myself and not knowing how to do several things.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I wanted to be a provider for my child, you know, and school was not looking all so good for me because I wasn't doing too well in there.
Yes.
And so I said, well, let me try to make some additional money. And so now what I did was to begin to get into all kind of mischief. One of those things that landed me in prison was burglary and robbery. Okay. And so once I did those particular things, and then now my mother told me not to leave out the house that particular day. But of course, I got my mind made up. I'm going to do what I'm going to do at this point, because here it is. I'm trying to look for ways to provide, because I know this child is counting on me now, you know. And so that was one of the things that led me actually to now going to prison.
Yeah. And so I guess after, was it the 6th year when you realized, okay, I'm ready to get out of here. It's like this is where I know my life needs to change. And then what happened after you got out? Like when God, you know, finally delivered you mentally first.
Yeah.
Were you free? Well, let's backtrack.
Okay.
Would you say you were free like mentally before you were free physically?
Definitely. I was free mentally before I was free spiritually. It's a lot of people out here who are free because they're not behind walls, but they're locked up in their own minds. They're slaves to their own selves. And so God freed me while I was still incarcerated.
Yeah.
And so I probably had about maybe 2 years, year and a half left on my sentence before I actually was physically free.
Yeah.
But here it is now. He's freed me mentally. And now, even though I'm doing time, I'm not doing time.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Mm.
You understand? Because now he has freed me. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And so now being able now to walk out of prison with this mindset, now it's like, God, what would you have me to do?
Yeah.
And one of those things he had me to do was to rejoin the church. Here it is. I had vowed never to come back. But God, in his mercy and his grace, said, son, this is where I need you at. So I didn't need anybody to validate me on my back to say, hey, we welcome you back in the church.
Yeah.
No, God himself welcomed me back in the church. And it was from that point on, Ayende, that I became a deacon first, became a ordained elder. And then from that, I heard the call of God on my life. Say, I want you to go on to Oakwood University.
Yeah. Shout out to Oakwood, definitely, guys. Like, guys, get a chance to check that out. You can look it up online. Historically Black College, one of the only and first and only Seventh-day Adventist HBCUs. But before we wrap up, you know, what are some just a few more questions? So, you know, what about life after giving your life over to Christ? You know, I mean, because some. You mean you got people that's like, I don't want to give my life over to Christ because, you know, I'm going to be looked at as lame. You know, ain't nobody going to really take me serious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the point? And then could you give your perspective of how you giving your life over, how it's changed you as an individual?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ayende. How it changed me is this. I used to think, you know, if I give my life to Christ, then I will be viewed as what you said.
Yeah.
But it took me to realize that I was not living until I really gave my life over to Christ.
Mm.
And so now in doing so, I now have purpose.
Yeah.
You see, you're talking about a man who had no aspirations, who was not even trying to go to college,
yeah.
Who did not even think about, you know, how I was going to provide for my family. You know, I'm talking about in a sense where now I know what God wants me to do. So in giving my life to him, he now orders my steps. Mm-hmm. Like I said, when I got out, joined the church, I know sometimes it's viewed from a perspective of if you give your life to Christ, then it's going to just be boring. I'm really living, actually, literally,
yeah.
My best life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, I would not, whoever listened to this podcast, I would not lie to you and say that sin is not tempting and luring and you will have fun with it.
Mm.
But you would not have peace with it.
Mm.
What God gives you is a peace that passes all understanding. Mm. And so it's not boring for me to go to church. It's not boring for me to go back to the block. I still go back to the block, but now I carry a different swag with me. See,
See,
now I carry Jesus Christ with me to the hood, and these brothers now are looking for that. So, in reality, what Satan has tried to do is say, "Hey, you know, you weak if you go to church."
Yeah.
But brothers are looking for authenticity, and I would just suggest to any young person that if you are authentic as a Christian, it's a greater pull to for people to listen to you and to say, if he did it for him, he can do it for me. A lot of us are going through some serious, serious stuff that only Jesus Christ can rescue us from.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not had a dull or boring moment since I gave my life over to him.
Yeah.
Now, there are some people who make it look boring, but trust me, it's not boring. Amen.
Yeah.
Every round goes higher and higher, every experience. Now, I'm learning to trust him even on a higher level where God is now putting me in some places I would have never thought I could stand.
Yeah. And so I guess before you wrap up, you know, what are some pointers, some tips that you would give to I mean, young and old, you know, people, because you have older people that feel like, well, I'm too old to, you know, really do anything worthwhile on this earth. And then you got the younger who's like, well, I'm too young. I mean, let me live my life.
Mm-hmm.
And what would you tell them?
Sure. Well, let me just speak to the older generation first. Even if you look at John. Here it is. John is in Revelation, and John is an old man now. And, you know, most people look and lean toward retirement as, you know, the only option that they got. Well, you know, I done wasted my life all the way to this point. All the thing I'm going to do is just sit in my bed or sit in my house and just let life pass away. No, God still has a plan and a purpose for you, and it's never too late to commit your ways unto the Lord and watch God do something awesome to you, because this older generation still needs people to minister to them. And you can be both young and old to do that. But particularly if you're that older person and you think that my life is over because I've wasted it, no, God can still use you right where you are. And then for the young people, you know, Solomon tells us, you know, that, you know, he would rather us as a young people to commit their lives unto the Lord, like right now while you're young.
Yeah.
Don't wait till you get old. You see, the temptation is, well, let me go out and sow all my oats right now. Let me go, you know, let me go to the club. Let me do this. Let me do that. And then when I get older, then I give my life to the Lord. No. He said, remember your creator in the days of thy youth. And so right now, it's time for us now as young adults, you know, be it in the church, out of the church, whatever you may be, and listen to this podcast, trust God and watch him now do an awesome thing in your life. It's not a boring or a dull thing to serve the Lord. In fact, it's best that you do it while you're young now, and don't wait till you have nothing left to give him. Don't wait till you have nothing left to give him. He wants you to serve him right now where you stand, be it young. The Bible says, let no one despise your youth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what you've been through. Don't let them despise your youth, okay?
Yeah.
Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody falls. But when you hear the voice of God, you need to get back up and get back on that horse because God loves you.
Yeah. Well, y'all, we wrapping up. Thank you, Marcus, for sharing your testimony and sharing, you know, and being real. You know, I mean, that's the thing with this podcast is authentic talk. Mm-hmm. You know, we want God to lead the way, of course. I mean, but for the most part, we want to be authentic. You know, we need real stories. We need young people, older people to hear these stories because, you know, that's the thing. A lot of times in church, like, people aren't really telling the truth. And the world is giving us their truth, but no one is giving them their truth, the story, the testimony that God has given them. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I hope everyone who listened to this podcast, that you all are inspired to live by righteous principles and principles that do abide by God. And if you've never heard of God, or if you've never read the Bible before, it's not too late to, you know, open the Word and discover it for yourself. You know, we're not trying to tell people to force you that you need to believe in Christ. At the end of the day, that's not our job. Our job is to present a message to you. And so anyone under the sound of our voice, you know, we will be praying that the Holy Spirit will lead you to all truth. And He will. And if you ask Him, if you're really serious about it, or if you're just curious. I mean, once you encounter God one time, you never forget it. Whether you reject it or whether you accept it, you know, you'll never forget it. So this is all we got for tonight. Thank you all for tuning in. We're going to play, I guess on this podcast also, not guess, but also on this podcast, we're trying to promote a lot more positive music. I mean, the music that's out there, it's cool or whatever. But we're also going to be trying to promote as much positive music as possible because you got to fortify your mind with good thoughts constantly. So I guess the song at the end of this podcast is a song by a dude named 1K Few. Shout out to 1K Few, man. Keep spinning bars, bro, straight out of Atlanta. And so welcome, and well, good night and good evening. Thank you all for tuning in. Until the next Potty Soul episode of Trap House Talks. Thank y'all.